making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that word that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we're glad you've joined us for another edition of Abounding Grace. This week on Abounding Grace, we're going to open up Psalm 42. Psalm 42 is one of those very comforting psalms that comforts those in this life who are going through severe trial and those who are facing a direct, at least in the psalmist's case, attack and mourning over certain things that have happened to him in life. And so what a relevant psalm to consider for the Christian as we go through what Psalm 23 says, this valley of the shadow of death. We will fear no evil, for our Lord is with us. And that is a key summary statement in light of Psalm 42. Let me read a little bit of that psalm to you this morning, that we would have a good understanding of what we're going to look at this week. And I would encourage you to go back and look over the psalm. There's much here regarding daily life as a Christian and those who belong to the Lord. And we read there, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?' When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God." You read a beautiful psalm like that, and the first question that we have to ask, and we're sort of running through this theme of comfort in life in light of what we just read, is what is your only comfort in life and in death? That's a wonderful question, isn't it? But to be honest, that question is quite troubling. A question that probes our hearts and confronts us head on with reality, the reality that before us in this life is the need for comfort. For not only is death coming, not only is there the need to be comforted from the fact that all of us very soon will die or experience the death of a loved one, but just as bad as that fact is, even in this life, there are other things that produce the same type of sorrow. Even in the days of the living, even when you would think there's to be little concerned with, there's a terrible sadness that prevails in the world around us. There's an emptiness and void that needs to be filled. There's misery and affliction even in life. You see, I might as well, just as well introduced Abounding Grace this week by asking, what is the most important issue of life? While that question might be answered in a few different ways, the single most important issue in this life that everyone seems to be striving for is comfort. Everyone is after it. It is interesting to see Hollywood stars and the rich of this world try to drown away the reality of their miseries in this life and the reality that death is coming through things. So many, the void is filled through family. Some take pills. Some try to escape the depressing realities going on in their lives through excessive entertainment, parties, and so on. Drugs and alcohol function as sort of immediate fixes for many. Even the modern prosperity gospel movements are seeking to find the answer to this question. And for them, the question is cut short. What is your only comfort in life? Oh, they emphasize the temporal. They seek to provide healing for the present, and they talk about healing and miracles and all these sorts of things, but they cannot answer the latter part. They do not want to stress the latter part. What is your comfort in death? That's an area they don't want to go to. They're only here for the now. And you see, this is such an important question. The reality for the Christian and the non-Christian alike, is it not that this is a valley of the shadow of death? It is a life of uncertainty, isn't it? I mean, I've had numerous people call and over my ministry years and who have expressed hurting because someone is facing sickness or has lost everything or maybe is given a short time to live. And we can never understand. We never really have all the answers. All we know is that it hurts, and so we deal with it in different ways. All around us, of course, is uncertainty. Tomorrow, it may be that one of our own relatives is making a call on our behalf because of what has happened to us. And what of the uncertainty in terms of the world in which we live? Yesterday and the day before and the day before in some part of the earth was an earthquake. And every now and then, we'll read that some 30,000 are carried away in an earthquake. Or tsunamis, or whatever it might be. Who can forget the terribly sad realities of what happened in the Gulf Coast region? People within a few hours suffering horrible atrocities. We're accustomed, of course, in America to having food on the plate and we expect it tomorrow. But do we really have any guarantee? This uncertainty really does have no favorites. We don't understand why someone, even a young child, has to go through the trial of cancer and maybe death. Uncertainty faces our children. It affects the youth standing on the threshold of life and the aged who are already have one foot in the grave. And this valley of the shadow of death we all go through, we are set on the edge of the cliff, so to speak, in this life. The reality that all of mankind faces is that after they die, they will have to stand in front of an angry God if they are outside of Christ in eternal judgment and face his wrath. The only question, the most important question of life then has to be, what is your only comfort in life and in death? What a question. A disturbing and offensive one to the unbeliever and a hopeful one for the believer. Well, today we have an answer, don't we? Amid all of the sin and all the misery of this life, amid all of the uncertainty, there is a way of comfort. There is a comfort that you can have that offers you hope and security in life and in death. Isn't that something? That no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial, no matter the pain or that of a loved one suffering, there is comfort. It is not a future comfort. It is a comfort that is available to us today. But there's only one way, might I say, in having this comfort. The world lines up their ways, but there's only one true way. The house of our lives, said one pastor, does not have three or four emergency exits, but there's only one door to true comfort. There's only one pearl of great price that you should go after with all that you have in this life to find it. And it extends to you in life and in death. Can you imagine that God cares for us so much that he goes to the greatest depths to ensure that you might have comfort in this sad world? The only response is, what kind of a God is this? Well, today I say to you, it is Christ. He is the door of your comfort and the only way in which you can have true happiness and joy in this sin-cursed world. If you don't think the world is sin-cursed and under the dominion of sin, you have your head in the dirt. Turn on the news. It's clear. You see, the Christian has known a comfort in life and in death. There is a way for you to know it, O my downcast soul, as the psalmist would say. I want you to see in our text that the psalmist presents to us a very real picture of life. It's not life in an ivory tower. He presents life in the mud pits, if you will. He presents to you life in the trenches, the true realities that we face. Sometimes we think that these biblical figures in the Bible whom we admire, who were pillars of the faith, had the real life free of trial. But before you in this psalm, in Psalm 42, is a grieving saint. He was facing the most intense depression. If there's anywhere to go in the scriptures to see one of God's people facing intense suffering and just agonizing pain, there's no place better than that of Psalm 42. Listen to how it begins. As the deer, verse 1, pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you hear his problem? In the first four verses, we have the foremost problem on the psalmist's mind, and it's a terrible one. It is a soul crying from the depths of hell on earth, a soul who has the weeds wrapped around his neck, feeling as Jonah did that the earth with its bars have closed behind him forever as he sat at the bottom of sea, the sea which he likened to Sheol. He is distant, this psalmist. And the cry has gone out, one of hurting and pain, a soul searching out a ray of light amidst this present darkness. He is thirsting, literally panting or longing for God, just as a thirsting deer does for the water brooks. He's longing and crying out because he does not have the ability to worship God in the temple. We read this in verse 4, of course. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. He later speaks in verse 6 of being at the heights of Hermon, the hill of Mizar, remembering God from the land of the Jordan. Whoever this writer is, he has been the most literally taken captive and is heading away from the city of God to the east, heading away from Jerusalem toward Babylon. A depressing and painful reality in his life. In his mind, he's being removed from the center of his existence, the only place of life and blessing, and he's headed in the way of the wilderness in darkness and away from the land of the living, a dreadful circumstance indeed. And we can apply that today by saying, look at the darknesses that surround us. The psalmist was in deep mourning because life at one time was good. Life at one time, he was able to go up to the Lord's house with joy. He was able to worship with the people of God. But all of a sudden now, in light of this present circumstance, he's been taken away and he has no answer. So what then is the answer? Oh, there are many things that cause the same sort of pain and miseries and trials that what we just read about in the psalmist. What is the answer? The question is, who is the answer? Our only comfort in life and in death is Jesus Christ. We're going to look at that more this week. And the psalmist will take us to that hope when he asks, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. He was telling us to look to Christ alone as the only source of joy and comfort, no matter the trial he brings us through. For it is designed for the end that we would glorify him and enjoy him as a new creature that he has made us in him through his very blood. And so if you believe in him today, know that you have a true comfort in life and in death. Our only comfort in life and in death is Jesus Christ. We preach him in season and out of season at the Linden United Reformed Church. Join us this Sunday, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Our worship service times, 318-0429 is the phone number. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.